Well, welcome to Grace Outreach Family Church this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. There's someone that's here. Alton, brother, I know you always have a word, but I'm honored that you're here. Alton, would you come up here and just give us a word of the Lord? Just tell us something that's going on in your life or what you have. He and his wife are what I call members at large. That's what they are.
Yes, right.
So, He goes around and speaks as really an evangelist or teacher. And so he's gone a lot of the time, but when he's here, he's always faithful to be at church.
Right.
And speak to us for a minute here, brother.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. See some faces that I've known before, but I've seen some new faces, praise God. And that's great. It is and everything. So we've been a little idle here lately and everything. I've had knee surgery and so on and so forth. But while we're here, our wife and I, Shirley, she's put up with me for 50 years. Stand up, Shirley. Thank you. And so we decided to come and stay a couple of nights in Marble Falls, and we did. And our daughter last year came and rode the boat on Buchanan up through the river and everything. She said, "That is really nice." So we rode the river yesterday, and so we enjoyed that. And so we wanted to stay an extra night where we come over here and aggravate Brother Tommy a little bit. Amen? No. But it's good, you know, to be in the presence of the Lord each and every day of our life and everything. And it's more important than it was yesterday. I realize that. I really do. And we ought to realize it too, because the signs of the times are here. Come on now. Amen. I don't believe I'm speaking to a bunch of dead people. Amen. Because I believe that we're living for a Savior that's not dead, that He's risen. Hallelujah. And He's risen within us. Hallelujah. Amen. And gave us something and gave us an ear to hear the Spirit. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God said. That Spirit of God is moving. He's moving rapidly. He's moving with the agape love. He's moving with the shalom that He gives to each and every one of us today. And we ought to receive that each and every day of our life. And when we do, we'll begin to nature and begin to grow in the Spirit of God. And so the Lord has to say for you here today, those that are right now, without a shadow of a doubt, and I agree with my sister here a while ago, it's through the Spirit of God. There's some of y'all here that may be financially burdened, physically, spiritually, and maybe you're just burdened down with the load of cares. And so the Word of God says, oh, quit that. Stop it right now. Amen. In the Spirit of God. Hello. S-T-O-P. That's a message within itself. Stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, come on, I'm going to give you the word here because it's coming not from my head but from the heart. He said, cast. Come on. Cast. I want y'all to do something. Would you stand up? I ain't going to preach, but I could. Woo! Glory to God. But I can feel the Spirit of God. That's why. You see what I'm talking about? And I'm going to do it too, because we've all got burdens. Come on. We've got burdens. We've got burdens. And that's great burdens. Hallelujah. Because I know a man called Jesus can take them away. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's just get your right hand, because He's sitting on the right hand side of the Father making intercessions for you and I today. Amen. The Word of God says over in Peter, says, cast, come on, all cares upon Him. Some of you didn't do it real good. Just do it one more time. Cast all your cares upon Him, because He careth for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to finish up with prayer. Father God, in the name, hold hand with somebody. Come on, Brother Tommy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus and through your blood, right now, Satan, you have no part in this place this morning. You're not even welcome here whatsoever. Demons, I say leave right now in the name of Jesus. We come to praise the name of Jesus, a name above every name. Hallelujah. He's kings of kings and He's Lord of lords. Hallelujah. He's Alpha and He's Omega, and you're nothing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And so we come today, oh, in the Spirit, in the power, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we come and adore you. We come to, oh, just lift up your name, because you're worthy. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this day that you've given us, and we rejoice within it, and we celebrate within the name of Jesus and through your blood. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Tommy. Thank you, Brother Tommy.
Well, we are blessed, and congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you all, too.
And Shirley, I thank you for putting up with this man right here. So. All right. I thought he was going to take over. Last week, my father kind of hijacked the service, and this week, Alton nearly took over. And they got a lot of, so coming up behind them, it's like, what am I going to do? So, I'll be me. All right, moving right along. As you can see, we have the communion that is out here. And communion is a time of not to freak out. It is a time of which we as believers, you want to run towards communion. You want to connect with God. Remember why we're doing it. I'm going to talk about that in just the next few minutes. And I just want to say that this is a symbol of the bread of the Lord's body, which he gave for us. And this is grape juice, but it represents, it's Welch's grape juice. And I say that because some wonder what it is. But it represents the blood that Christ shed for us, that has redeemed us, that allowed us to come this far in history and to go as far as whatever is needed because he took on the sins of the world. Amen. So I'm going to talk about communion in just a minute. I titled it, Our Appetite Grows by Eating. And, you know, our appetite does grow by eating. Though you may get full, you won't still to continue to eat, right? So our appetite today I want to focus on is not so much in the action of communion, but the appetite that you would have for the Lord Jesus. The way that you're able to talk to him, to know him, to hear him, to understand what he says to us. That the word inspires us, and there's wisdom to be found. And that is the appetite. That's what we want to grow. If you have your Bibles in Proverbs, let me say a couple of things first. The understanding of communion. I want to make these points clear to us today. Because a lot of people, they think they know about communion, and you probably do. But I want to make clear that it is important for us. And here's what it's going to do for us today. The understanding of communion. It's not about the bread and the wine. It's about the body and blood of Jesus. Communion is not about a ritual or a method. It's about listening to Jesus and to do what he says. Communion is not an obligation, but it is a celebration. And communion celebrates the gospel message of what Christ has done for us and the power of sin that was broken so that you and I may know the Lord, who has called us and made us holy and righteous. Do you hear me? Worthy and righteous. So if you feel unworthy, it is just that, it's a feeling. But the truth is, you were holy and righteous. 1 Peter 3:18 in the NIV version. Scripture says, for Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous, the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the spirit. And there were 13 of you last week that were baptized in water. When you have identified yourself to the Lord that you believe in him, trusting him, recognizing the sinfulness that we have and being able to ask the Lord to forgive us, he has the power and the desire to forgive us of all sins. And then you went and you were water baptized. So what you thought in your mind and the decision that you made inside when you were baptized in front of so many that were there, I just want to congratulate everyone for coming out, not only bringing dishes, but celebrating as witnesses to the 13 that were baptized in the water last week. So as you were baptized, then you just made it clear to everyone here that you now are a believer. And I use a believer more than I do Christian, because a believer is more like disciple, which means someone who is continuing to learn. Amen? All right. Don't get quiet on me. I had to get my little sound box out over there. So Proverbs 16:26. Proverbs says, and this is the Living Bible translation, it says, hunger is good if it makes you work to satisfy it. So this is speaking of our appetite. Hunger is good if it makes you work to satisfy it. So remember, our appetites this morning are spiritual appetites that we're speaking of. Things that we want to crave from God. How do you know what to crave from God? You want to crave the things from God when you see God is moving around us and in us and through us. I have seen people that were so on fire for God that not only did it make me just curious, it made me jealous. Lord, if you can do that for them, I have to have the same thing. Not something like it, but I want to know what it is you have for me. Well, that was kind of when I was a little more uneducated about God. My appetite had not become ferocious in seeking God. Then you start tasting the things of God because he does what he says he will do. Seek me and you will find me. In that desire, and the Lord is blessing you. Oh, you start a craving inside. I had a sermon message that I named it, The Cravers. Because the hunger, the things that God does, starts pouring out on you in a greater way than what you've ever seen before. And then you can move in the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. So you fumble around with the gospel. When you're under the power of the Spirit, the Lord moves you and speaks through you. He's not looking for the most educated, but he's looking for those that will seek him, for those that will knock at the door. And he says he'll open it. So that's what we're speaking of today. And in a sense, it is communion with God. Communion, it's defined as a having in common, some things we have in common. Communion. It's, and these are biblical dictionaries of this, the share which one has in anything. As we share, come in communion with God, we start being able to connect in many ways besides just knowing God. But in the sharing of ourselves, in the experiences, in the testimonies, in the things that God does for us or we see him doing for others, there's a sharing of that. There's a communion. And that is what the church should do. But that's just on the inside. Communion is also a participation. It's something that you take part of. It's demonstrated in taking communion today. But true communion is participating with God and with others concerning God. And it requires one that has a good attitude, one that is willing, one that is gentle, one that is kind, one that is accepting, right? And not see people as sinful people, but see them as how God sees them. People that he can make holy and righteous. But with that communion with you, sharing that gospel message brings him to the light, because the Lord knows the difference between sin and the sinner. And we should be able to separate that out and love people. Psalm 27:4. In the King James Version, the scripture says, Psalms David, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Have you ever heard this psalm put to song? One thing have I desired of the Lord. You can sing with me. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire in the temple of the Lord. Do we sing it, Cindy? The beauty of the Lord. Yes. The temple of the Lord, to inquire of the beauty of the Lord. And Lord, it is our desire. It's not just a song, nor just a psalm. but it's our heart, Lord. One thing we desire is to be connected with you and to know you. Let us see this, Lord, over the next few minutes, clearer than we have before, I pray. Amen. John 6:47. It's about the middle of your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I found another person that likes to hear the Bible pages. That's Belinda Clark. She really liked those. But she's had them her now. So that's John 6, verse 47. I want to explain a great truth from temporal bread that the Bible speaks of. It's God being the bread of life. And we understand that the manna, remember when the children of Israel were going, they had to have manna, which was like the bread that God had sent them. It was food, it was nutrition, but it was a thing. It helped them for the moment get through, but it didn't carry them until the manna came back. So that was the temporal bread. And I want to speak to you in this verse, and for you to see there is this spiritual bread that when Jesus came, he said, I am the bread. It's the nutrients of God. It's the vitality that God gives us. Except it's everlasting. It's not like manna. It's something that we draw from continuously. It's the spiritual bread. So it says here in John 6, verse 47, Scripture says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. And yes, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Sounds like the Lord wasn't a good cook there, right? Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. And I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread in which I offer so the world may live is my flesh. Do you see the depth of communion broke right through just even the relationship, but literally the flesh? You know, my wife's kind of, you know, some people are biters. Now, she'll get excited about something. If I'm too close, well, I'm going to have teeth mark right here. And she taught when we had three children, one of our sons was a biter too. And that rascal would bite you and you'd holler out. But the Lord tells us that our communion is to go much deeper than what our ancestors has ever experienced. And the reason that they died is because that was just something to get them along through time. But what you and I are able to eat, the spiritual bread, literally partake of Jesus himself, gives us life and life for eternity and brings life to everything that we lay hold of. Because it's Christ. We're unified with him in a way in which we are not just connected, but part of Christ. I see a few things in this scripture that really stick out. Without rereading this scripture, it denotes that applying ourselves to God. That's what it denotes. I notice that we have to make a decision. Now, you can read the Bible, and it's good reading. But it's going to be confusing as far as making great sense unless you read it in a spiritual fashion. You see, this is divine. The Word of God is divine. It is not complicated. It is given to all of us to understand the Lord, to understand the Spirit and how He moves with us, to have an understanding of communion with God and how close that He is with us. Though at times you may feel like you're in a desert, God is with us. And though it seems like that you're under attack, God is with you. And when you feel overcome, God is with you. And when you are sick, we call upon God to heal us and hold them to his promises, people. God's not upset when we hold them to his promises. If you're praying and you're not sick, don't be angry at God, but trust that God would make you whole. Pray that we have the gift of healing, as the Bible says, so that when we pray for people, the Spirit moves through us and they are made whole. the wrong attitude to be. I prayed and God did nothing and I'm still sick. He said he's the great healer. He says in 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes on his back. Take those stripes on his back. They account for the healing. When he died on the cross and shed that blood, it was for the forgiveness of sins. It was to break the and bind up the enemy so that we may be free in Christ. 1 Corinthians 11. Go to your right. If you're in John, go to your right. 1 Corinthians 11:17. Ways in which we can lose our appetites. If you want things to get in the way of our appetite for God, it's pretty easy to do. But God does not lose his appetite for us. I'm going to say that again. It's really easy for us to lose our appetite for things of God and the things that we should do right. Okay, we can get tired of doing those at times, but that's just your flesh talking. We have another way. Listen to what the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians. Paul is speaking about order at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, Eucharist, communion, these words are synonymous here. So he says, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. He's speaking of the Lord's Supper that the church was having. For it sounds as if it's more harm than good is done when you meet together. That's your first right there. No, your appetite's wrong. You don't have your spiritual appetite on. That when you get together, things actually end up worse than what you got here. Amen? I know I don't live in a hollow world like that. I live in the same world that you do. You know, I try not to go in places necessarily that are going to just heavily reject me. On the other hand, knowing Christ causes that reaction. And there's a difference because there's an understanding in the Bible that if some people don't like you, hey, don't tick them off, okay? Work with people. If somebody is not a believer or somebody that you're working with, even a boss or somebody that's upsetting to you or a brother-in-law or a mother or a father, listen, there's one way to kind of handle that. And then there's another way in which there's a stigma about you because you're a believer and people hate on you because of that. And the instruction tells me in the Bible and tells you in the Bible that we're to count those things joy. For when we suffer for the Lord, that's like extra credit to God. That's a bonus. That's something that we walk tall about. Not that we have to love it, but because it is identified in us, Christ, the living God. And when that shows and the hate comes out on people, don't you understand what's going on in their hearts? You're the stumbling stone for their sin. You cause them to see what they should be doing, and they see what they're doing is wrong. So he says, I'll begin again. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if you do more harm than good when you meet together. Verse 18, first, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, he says, I believe it. But of course, there must be division among you. Notice, if there happens to be division among you, the right way to look at this, if there must be divisions among you, so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. Did you get how I'm saying the differences when it comes to the communion? Sometimes you're flat out rejected. Now, as the Lord has, let me just say, he's called me to be able to serve him and to serve you, to preach his message. And let me tell you, I myself do not want to come to church if I feel worse about myself than when I came in. Now, as a called one, I'm also have a responsibility that cannot continue. So I want to say to you, it's unnecessary when there's division among us, because on the other side of this word, it distinguishes you who are not in communion with God and people. Whereas when we come together and there's unity, it shows that we are in communion with God and others. I hope that arrow made it through there to that understanding. Verse 20. When you meet together, I would hate for somebody to notice this. Here we are at a communion service today. Imagine, okay? Somebody on the outside looking in. When you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. Verse 22, what? He says, don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I'm certainly not going to praise you for this. And it got quiet in the church. You are good people. I know that. You really are. But we must have the teachings of the whole understanding of communion. You're quiet because you're thinking, not because you're guilty. If you feel some guilt, well, I don't see it on you. So it's just between you and the Lord. And that's the way it is. It's always between us and the Lord. So I want to go through this a little bit. When you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. In the organization at the church at the time, people would have communion, but it was done, it had become different than recognizing the main thing, connecting with God, realize what Christ has done. And they had focused more on self. Today in our communion service, we're focusing on Christ and what he has done and how we can have that attitude and light and cast that on others, showing that we are in communion with God. Quite different from just never looking around at anybody. And when they would come together, they would eat, and it had kind of gotten out of order. Some people had brought wine, and they drink too much wine. And I can't imagine what that's going to look like in the church, except that's going to end up probably falling on number 18 first. I hear there are divisions among you when you meet at church. It's got to go with 17. I cannot praise you, for it sounds like more harm is done than good. The church is supposed to, in the sense, take your eyes off the wine and the drunk part and look at it as the sobriety that God calls us to walk in his spirit. And you don't have to be some kook that can't be figured out, but we should not also be someone that is not sober-minded, not paying attention. Attending church is not just something you attend. We are partakers each and every week. We follow the Lord's Supper often, but as we meet, that is communion, people. Each day with God is communion. When I bow my knees, it's not for show. My God, it's to humble myself before an awesome God, for he is good. And when you have things that you have need of, and you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Let me tell you, I'm there. I'm going to pray. The Lord doesn't tell everybody to humble their knees necessarily. I mean, he wants you to pray, and so you just make sure you pray. But when I pray, I can't help but think lowly before God. Not that I'm little, but because he is so big. Because I need help, and I don't know the answers. And God in heaven knows what to do and has the power to carry it through. I recognize that I am not God. And as I take and bow on my knee, I realize he is God. All right, these are communion. These are communion. There's promises in this with the communion. Verse 23. So Paul goes on. He says, for I pass this on to you, what I received from the Lord himself. And he kind of shows the purpose of it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, verse 24, and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That is simply the bread broken to pieces, similar to our communion today, symbolized his body, which has been given for us, right? This cup, okay, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. There are times when we come together specifically taking the time to look at our lives. And is there anything that is between us and God that is not right? Verse 27. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is the attitude. There's unforgiveness in your heart. There are sins. You're just, if you can't find in your heart to humble yourself before the Lord or get things right with another brother or sister, and if that person is not here, ask the Lord to help you. This is when God will speak to us, people. I want to say unlike any other, but specifically in communion, for the scripture says in verse 28, this is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon you. This is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died, not because of the communion, but it's because they didn't have communion with God. They held on to bitterness and hate. They despised versus getting it right with God. Doggone, there are people that are hard to love, and there are people that make it very easy to despise them. Amen? But there is a God who dictates to us and helps us with His Holy Spirit to be in agreement so much that it even affects our physical health that we have and could even cause that sin to grow inside of us. And not just spiritual death, but we understand what hate does, right? Today in America, there's a lot of haters that are out there. It makes you upset, but it also gets you in your heart because why? I mean, some things you people need to let go, we say. And those people really are us too. The haters I was real upset with, this was a long months ago, you know. During election time, people were really hating on each other. And they would use somebody as an excuse. I'm not going to say who. You know who they were. Yeah, guess what? Haters is our responsibility to make sure that we're not that. Our responsibility is to pray for those that, what does the Bible say? Pray for our enemies, it says. Pray for those that despise you. The meditations of your heart and your spirit should be focused right now on yourself now and between God. Could there be? Is there anything in your heart? And you have to ask yourself. That's why the word says to examine. Let me see. This is a spiritual, divine thing we are doing. Let me see into my heart, Lord. What have I justified or said is right and I'm wrong? Show me. You are God. I'm your son and daughter. You are the Father. Direct me. I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. I pray that we have forgiving hearts. Y'all be thinking about yourselves here and with God. I pray, Lord, that as we are meditating here, we're releasing things that are heavy and a burden to us. We recognize that what you did on the cross, Lord, shedding of your blood, broke the enemy's spell on us. And the fear in which, if any of us feel right now, is just simply a feeling and a lie from Satan. Because you've called us to be sober in our mind. But the spirit of fear is not related to the Spirit of God. For your scripture says, the Lord does not give us the spirit of fear. But now inject us, Lord, with love, power, and a sound mind, I pray. Now, people, some we may be holding on to things for years. As I prepared this message, I pray that it uncover not just something that in the last few days, but something that has been a weight that has been nailed to you. And it's become normal. You feel like it's just your cross to bear. Jesus says that He forgives us, and we must forgive so that we may be forgiven. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there is not a heavy load upon us, but one that is light. I pray life and speak life into our physical bodies, into our spiritual minds, our part of us, Lord, to our hearts, that we may know You, that we may rejoice in You. that her appetite grows more and more, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, there's room for that because people are casting off, Lord, those things that have been hurting me. The things that have been unjust. Things when life has not been fair. The abandonment. Help us, Lord. Just sing that song, Cindy. While they're singing, this section come back and just get your communion and hold on to it, and then the next section. We'll take the bread first. We'll do this together. I want to pray first over it. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your body that was given for us. You did something that we couldn't do. Make it right, Lord. You lived without sin, Lord. You knew we couldn't, but you did it for us. You came to earth just as one of us and lived as one of us. As we eat this, I pray also for healing in our bodies and our minds and our spirits. Let's take the bread together. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says that after supper, that Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood, which is given for you." And people, this is Christ's blood. It represents the blood of Christ. And it was given for us to accomplish exactly everything Jesus said it would do. Oh, Father, I pray for healing physically of all those that are sick. Any afflictions, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bless this, Lord. Have your work inside of us. Amen. Let's take the cup. Amen. Would you stand and then I'll dismiss you.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to
Amen. When you leave here, don't forget you actually took part of now of the body of Christ. You're connected again. When you walk out that door, any voice that tells you otherwise is a devil. For the Bible says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I pray that God would prosper you, would help you, heal you. And as you seek Him, you will know Him.